today we are concluding a series that we have called Win the Year. Today is the final Sunday morning in this series that we've called Win the Year. And really, since New Year's Eve, we've talked about what sort of biblical principles can we put together in our lives that are more significant, deeper forming than New Year's resolutions, which, by the way, 75% of people never make it a month on their New Year's resolution. So we said, what could we do in 2024 that actually gets us to win the year from a biblical standpoint? And we started out on January 7th introducing a couple of different key principles, right? Key metaphors that we're going to hold on to try to win the year. And the first one we talked about on January 7th is what we called flip the script. We said one of the keys to 2024 for us to win the year is to flip the script, that there are narratives in our lives that actually hold us hostage to these negative ideals that we have about ourselves. We have let things happen to ourselves. There's things that happen to our lives that we have let define us in a negative way. We said one of the biblical callings is to flip the script. So instead of something that's been a dumpster fire in your life, maybe you flip the script and look at it like a refining fire. We talked about that back on January 7th. Then last week, we talked about this principle behind the idea of flying the kite. And you might remember I shared the story about the suspension bridge that goes over the Niagara Gorge. And that suspension bridge back in the mid-1800s all started with somebody flying a single kite string across the gorge. And that eventually led to this enormous bridge that could hold a locomotive, right? That incredible ideas happen with a single kite string. That was the idea. And we use this biblical principle: do not disparage the day of small beginnings. That there is a kite string that you need to fly in your life that God is doing right now to start something that we have no idea what it could be down the road. And now to conclude our Win the Year series, we're actually going to unpack today what I would consider to be the most important concept around winning the year, especially when we think of 2024, and that is related to prayer. Prayer. We can't talk about winning the year unless you talk about prayer. And to get to it today, I want to introduce you to our final metaphor, our final little phrase that we're going to use today, and it's called seed the clouds. Seed the clouds. And to seed the clouds, it's all about sowing today what you want to see tomorrow. And so to win the year, we seed the clouds. Okay, so let's jump in. On November 13th, 1946, a single propeller airplane took off from an airport, a county airport named Shatten Candy Airport, with a rather unique payload. It had 6 pounds of dry ice and a rather unique mission. The pilot was a chemist. I think we have a picture of this guy named Vincent Schaefer. He was a chemist who had been conducting experiments at General Electric Research Laboratory. He was using a GE freezer chilled to sub-zero temperatures. In Minnesota, you probably wouldn't do that very much, right? But Schaefer created clouds using his breath as condensation. And then he seeded those clouds with man-made clouds with dry ice. And the dry ice catalyzed a chemical reaction that caused snow crystals to form within that freezer. A few months later, it was time for the field test. So Schaefer took this airplane that he rented, he flew it into a cumulus cloud, and he literally dumped the dry ice into the cloud. Eyewitnesses said on the ground that it looked like the cloud literally exploded. The snowfall was visible literally from 40 miles away. Schaefer had seeded the clouds, and the rest was history. And it's something that people do in today's world all the time. Now, when we think about the science of seeding the clouds, it's kind of a modern marvel. But this idea of seeding the clouds is an old, ancient, biblical idea. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings 18. There's Bibles in the chairs in front of you. The scripture will be up on the passage. By the way, There are note sheets today. I put them on a little table just behind one of the chairs there. If you want to grab those and take notes, you're welcome to as well. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18, which is around the story of Elijah. And it's an amazing story. We're going to look at just a few verses. The story of Elijah is robust, and we could spend a lot of time on there. But today, just in 1 Kings 18. And here's today's focus. Seeding the clouds is all about praying prayers of faith. Seeding the clouds is all about praying prayers of faith. And maybe you're like me, and there are times in your life where it's very easy to pray bold prayers of faith. But then there are situations where it's very difficult. I found myself through the years, honestly, more often than not, praying prayers that are hopeful, but at best, they come out as a timid and weak prayer that aren't necessarily filled with the bold faith that the Bible calls us to. You might resonate with this, right? We oftentimes love to say the phrase, God, if it's your will, when we pray. We say, God, if it's your will, then do this thing. Or God, if it's your will, grow that thing. Or God, if it's your will you heal this thing? But sometimes we use that phrase, not all the time. Sometimes we use that phrase as a way out, almost to let us off the hook. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time. You might say, God, if it's your will, and then if it doesn't happen, you don't quite feel the need to be as faithful as Scripture calls us to. Over time, I think we get tired of offering empty words for hollow statements. I would love to be someone who prays in faith and by faith. Someone that says, Lord, would you heal my marriage? That actually believes it could happen. That, Lord, will you heal our bodies of this medical issue that we're having, that it actually could happen? That, God, would you help this person that I've been praying for find and follow Jesus? That faith behind that prayer actually happens. Seeding the clouds for the year ahead is all about praying prayers of faith. And if you said yes to Jesus, then there's a calling on your life to come before the Lord with that faith and let God work through you and in you. That's what we signed up for when we said yes to Jesus. If you're a part of this church, and if you call yourself a part of our congregation, then we believe God has called us to pray bold prayers of faith to make a difference in the world, all for God's glory. John Mark Comer, in his book, God Has a Name, said this about prayer. It should be on the screen. Prayer is when our deepest desires and fears, our hopes and dreams, leak out of our mouths with no inhibition. It's when you talk to God with the edit button in the off position, and you feel safe, heard, and loved. Our prayers make a difference, he said. Prayer can move the hand of God. Prayer can get God to change his mind. Think about the gravity of that, he went on to say. Prayer is when your life trajectory is going in the wrong direction. You dialogue with God, and he responds, and your life goes the other way. Seeing the clouds is all about praying faithful prayers and having faith that God will respond. The book of James says it this way: the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. That's how I'd like to live in 2024, praying prayers that are powerful and effective and make a difference. Now, Elijah is going to show us how to pray in faith, and he models for us what I would say are three principles of prayer that help us see the clouds of our future. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these, but they're really important, so stick with me. Principle number one that Elijah shows us is that we pray according to the promises of God. Principle one is that we pray according to the promises of God. Now, before we get to 1 Kings 18, we actually need to back up a little bit and look at 1 Kings 17, because it really sets the story of 1 Kings 18 up, which in real time is about 3.5 years before when the Lord was about to do in Elijah's life. And he predicted and prophesied a drought. A drought that would come and plagued the land. This drought was the consequence of the people turning away from God. And it would have been devastating to the land and the economy at the time. Look at what it says in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. It should be on the screen. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbite in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." Look at that last phrase. God says, "Except by my word." So what Elijah, the prophet of God, is saying on behalf of God is that the promise of God is that it will rain when God is ready for it to rain. It will rain on God's time. This is important because the false god of Baal, and if you've ever read the Old Testament, if you've ever read the book of 1 and 2 Kings, you know that Baal was this very significant idol that people worshipped in Israel at the time. And the false god of Baal had been worshipped in the land of the Israelites at the time, and Baal was supposedly the god of rain and fertility. And what Elijah is saying is that we're about to see that Baal is no god at all. That Yahweh God controls the wind. That Yahweh God controls the rain. And it's Yahweh God that will make rain when he's ready. And he promises to do so. It has not rained in Israel for 3.5 years when we get to 1 Kings 18. And desperate times call for desperate measures. And so this is when and where and why the prophet Elijah seeds the clouds with faithful prayers. So when we fast forward to 1 Kings 18, we start with verse 41 and 42. And it says this, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain.' And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down on the ground, and put his face between his knees." Now let's just define a few people here. First of all, we want you to talk about Ahab. Ahab is a name maybe you've heard before, and he was the king of Israel at the time. The Bible says about Ahab is that he was the most evil king Israel had ever experienced. You might have heard of Ahab's wife before. Her name was Jezebel. So together, they were this like axis of evil in that moment. And Elijah was the prophet and the man of God, and he was dealing with all kinds of evilness and wickedness, all sorts of things pushing against him in this moment. And Elijah and Ahab had just witnessed an incredible act of God displaying his power, which is a sermon for another day, so I'm not going to get into it now. But it was so powerful, this is important, that all the people of Israel who had witnessed it said Yahweh must be the one true God. But Ahab wasn't convinced. He didn't believe it. He needed to see more. He needed to see more of what God can do. And so Elijah looks at Ahab and he says this, "There is this sound of rushing rain." Now let me frame this for you again. It hasn't rained in 3.5 years. And Elijah says there's this sound coming of a rushing rain. It is bone dry. The land has been devastated and decimated. The economy was destroyed. And Elijah says there's this sound of rushing rain. He's saying that right now, here in this moment, I, Elijah, am claiming the promise of God. I'm claiming the promise that God made. God, you said that it wouldn't rain except by your word. And now today I claim it. And so Elijah climbs up to Mount Carmel, back to this place where he saw God move, back to a place where he experienced God's mercy and his great goodness. Not because this place holds any sacred, holy ground significance, but because it's a physical and tangible reminder of the promises of God. And he hits his knees and he prays bold prayers of faith based on those promises. Now the lesson for us today, based on this principle that Elijah shows us, is that if we pray the promises of God in our lives, you need to know that our lives would look different. we oftentimes don't pray the promises of God. And if we did, with bold, faithful, seed the cloud type prayers, our lives would look different. Our lives would be changed. And praying these prayers would seed the clouds of our lives. Let me read to you a couple of random verses. There are so many, but just three or four here, of the different promises that God offers us. For example, James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And then he says, and it will be given to you. It's a promise of God. Ask for wisdom. God promises if you do, he will give it. 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It's a promise of God. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I came to give them eternal life. And because of this, they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What a promise that is, right? Hebrews chapter 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It's a promise of God. Philippians 1 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What a promise. Pray according to the promises of God. This is the first way we seed the clouds in our lives. It's the first way we get after seeding the clouds in 2024. Here's the second principle that Elijah showed us. Principle number two, is that we need to pray in a posture of humility. We need to pray in a posture of humility. The end of 1 Kings 18, verse 42 says this, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground. He put his face between his knees. Now, you might read that and say, okay, listen, that sounds like a yoga pose. I'm not sure that I can get there, and I would agree with you that maybe isn't something that we can all do, right? But there's something very important that we need to take note of. Elijah postured himself physically in a position that matched the posture of his heart. Elijah's physical position matched the posture of his heart. And we have to just talk about what prayer is for a minute, because prayer is an admission. It's an expression of dependence on God, which we don't always like to do. We don't always like to say, I'm dependent on this thing or that thing. We love to control the narrative in our lives. But prayer is the ultimate act of submission. When we are praying prayers of faith, pride and things like self-righteousness, those things don't exist in this conversation. When we understand our need for forgiveness before God, our need for God's purposes in our lives, for God's grace, our hearts will be postured in humility, and often then our bodies follow. The posture of our physical lives follows the posture of our hearts. Elijah was absolutely dependent on God to send rain. He knew he couldn't pray this bold prayer in that moment without God actually showing up and doing something. So he puts himself in a place of dependence for God. Do you and I do that daily in our lives? Elijah showed reverence and respect and honor and submission. Elijah is not a man who stands in arrogance, but bows in humility. And the Bible says that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And Elijah was there humbling himself before God. What an example for us as we think about this second principle of humbling ourselves in our prayers. Praying bold prayers, praying faithful prayers, is about praying humble prayers. The kind of prayers where God gets the glory first. Our bodies will reflect what's in our hearts. And if we look forward to what God is calling us to this year, we must start praying with humility. And our bodies tell the story. What posture is God calling you to pray from in 2024? What posture is God calling you to pray from in 2024? Principle number three, and the last principle we'll talk about today, is that Elijah shows us that we need to pray specifically and persistently. We need to pray specifically and persistently. 1 Kings 18, 43 through 45 says this. In verse 43, it says, "Go," Elijah says, "go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And when he looked up, and he went up and he looked. "There is nothing there," the servant said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, here it is, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Think about this for a minute. Seven times Elijah told his servant to go and look and see if it was raining. Seven times. The point is this. You don't just pray a prayer one time. You keep on praying. The application for us is that we don't just pray once. We keep on praying. So often we pray for something, and if we don't get an immediate response, an immediate answer, we stop. We give up. We lose heart. We might even get distracted by all the noise in our lives, all the busyness in our lives. Well, I prayed this prayer at this one time. God didn't answer it, and now I'm on to the next thing. But God might have given you a vision or a reason or a purpose to pray that prayer. And Elijah shows us that persistence is key. Elijah's the example. Keep praying. He continues to pray, and can you imagine the scene? He's sitting there, bent over in humility, his head between his knees. He's crying out to God. He's begging God, "God, do what you promised. Make it rain." And he keeps praying and asking his servant to go to the window and look if it's raining. And the servant returns seven different times and says, "There's nothing there. How many times can you ask me to go and watch?" "Go again and look. I'll keep praying," Elijah says. God, do what only you can do. Our lives are literally on the line. Finally, after seven times, the servant comes back and said, "There is one cloud, and it's the size of a man's hand." Now, I don't know about you, but I might have given up after the first time. I probably, for sure, would have given up after the second time. And if I was feeling super spiritual, which I don't even know what that exactly means, I might have prayed three times, right? But what we see here is that Elijah prayed a faithful and bold prayer seven times. Go look again. Go look again. Because Elijah believed the promise that God had given him. This wasn't a test of God. Often, these situations are a test of us. Wasn't a test of God. Often in these situations, when we are called to persistently pray, it's a test of us. And sometimes when we pray, God answers our prayers right away. And I need to tell you, I can't tell you as your pastor why God chooses to do that at certain times. Why is it that sometimes when we pray a bold prayer, God answers it the first time we pray? I don't know. And why is it that sometimes it takes days, weeks, months, years, decades? I don't know. All I know is that there have been story after story after story, maybe you have one of them, where people have been praying 10, 20 years for one thing, and it took that long for God to answer that prayer. There are times when we pray, when we see God answer those prayers, but there are other times that we pray where the answer to the prayer is not the goal. Listen and hear this. Our growth in the midst of that situation becomes the goal. Our persistence in prayer, our continuing to believe, our having faith is the goal. And God will oftentimes use those seasons to grow us, to mold us, to shape us, and actually to seed the clouds in our lives. And on the final time, Elijah tells the servant to go back and look. He says, Elijah, there's a cloud. And God begins to answer this prayer. Friends, I just have a simple question for you. What have you stopped praying for? What promise did you used to believe in and pray for by faith? You said, God, I believe you can do this thing. I believe you will do this thing. But now maybe you've given up. Who did you used to pray for that you haven't in some time? Is there a part of your life where your faith has dwindled and you've lost confidence that God is going to answer your prayer? These three principles, based on this incredible story on Elijah, are helpful for us to understand what it looks like to seed the clouds of faithful prayer. Pray the promises of God. Pray in a posture of humility, and pray specifically and persistently. Now, I want to close with just getting very specific for a moment, because I think there's two categories that we should just unpack for a quick second. First of all, I have no doubt in my mind that each of us in the room here, and those that are hearing my voice even online sometime today, maybe they're watching this in the future, that in your life individually, God is calling you to seed the cloud of some bold prayer in your life. That there was something that maybe God called you to at some time that maybe you've let go of. What is the bold, faithful prayer that God is calling you to? Is it for a person? Is it for a place? Is it for some sort of movement? Is it for something that you just can't pray anymore? What is God doing in your life in this moment? But I also think the second category is as a church, that we are called to have bold and faithful seed the cloud prayers for our congregation in 2024. In fact, our leadership team at New City has come together and they've decided that 2024, our thematic goal for this coming year, is going to be prepare for growth, which to me is the ultimate seed the cloud statement. We're all about in 2024 believing that God has given us this word to prepare for growth. And there's a number of different ways that that can happen. There's a number of deep and wide ways that that can happen. And in this season of preparing for growth, we want to let Scripture's call get us to act in such a way that we get our house in order and prepare for this season of growth. And in fact, we've named four objectives that we are going to focus on, that I want to just give to you as we close today's message, because these are also prayers that I want to ask you to pray. The first thing that we talked about is that we want to revision and reinvest in the public face of the church. That includes Sunday mornings, that includes in the way that we are communicating who we are to the community, that we believe God has called us to revision and rethink about the public face of the church. What bold prayer could you pray around that? Number two, we talked about establishing a community presence. And in establishing a community presence, there's two sides to one coin in this. There's probably 50% of the people in this room that don't live at Edina and 50% that do. And so when we talk about being connected to your community, it's where you live, and it's also where we're called to be as a church. You live, who knows where, Stillwater, Woodbury, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Chaska, wherever it is that God has called you to live, there is something that you are called to do in your neighborhood or with your coworkers. What prayer, bold prayer, will you pray in that context? But God has also given us this space to meet as a church. And we're called to the Creek Valley neighborhood to bless these people that are around us and bless the city of Edina, bless the larger community of Minneapolis and St. Paul. What community presence can we get involved in this year? Number three, we talked about doubling down on children and youth ministry. Doubling down on children and youth ministry. And when I say that, what I want you to hear is this. That's not the only important ministries in the church. We still believe small groups are pivotal to discipleship in our congregation. We believe that meeting on Sunday morning, going deep in the Word, having a wonderful meal together creates authentic community. We believe those things are important, but what we believe that God has called us to in 2024 is a recommitment to our children and youth and those families that are struggling out there in the world. And finally, number four, we said we need to define the wins for New City. All this means is that we need to talk about, in 2024, what does it mean to define success? What sort of measurements do we want to go after? What sort of things do we want to create a metric around so that we can measure these things? Would you help us pray over those things? These are the tangible and specific things that we are praying over in 2024. And we aren't waiting for God to work in the future. We believe that God and expect Him to work through this season of prepare for growth now. So my encouragement to you is to consider these two categories. What area in your life is God calling you to pray a bold and faithful seed the cloud prayer in 2024? And then how will you participate in praying these bold and consistent prayers for us as a church in 2024? My final encouragement before I pray is I really want to encourage you to tell somebody. We talked about this last week, that going public with our goals is one of the best measures of accountability, right? For that individual thing that you're thinking about, that person that you work with, that parent that maybe you're not getting along with, that medical issue that you've been praying for, I want to encourage you to share that with two or three people and ask them to pray with you, bold, faithful prayers about it. I would love to pray for you in that. But then also regarding our church, share with each other, maybe down at Soul Food or in some other small group setting, what are ways that you're praying for New City specifically in 2024? And let's stay persistent in that time. To win the year, we got to see the clouds. We got to seed the clouds and let God use this season to bring about his change and his glory. I'm going to ask Jamie and Michael to come on up, and I'm going to call us just to a time of prayer right now. And so would you just bow your heads with me, and let's pray. And in a minute, we're going to play two more songs to close our service, and then we'll head downstairs and have soul food. And you know, today, we talked about this posture of humility, right? And that this posture of our bodies actually reflects the posture of our hearts. And so I want to do something that's a little risky, something that we don't do very often. And I want to make an invitation to you. It's a very simple invitation. It doesn't require much of you if you don't want it to. But I want to invite you, as we pray, and even as we sing these last songs, or maybe just even one song, to put yourself in a posture that matches the position of your heart or the position that you want your heart in. You might feel called to kneel. For those that are able to pray on your knees, you're invited to do that at this time. You might feel called to stand and to raise your hands and to pray in this posture. If you want to do that, be welcome to do it. You might just want to sit quietly with your palms open on your knees and ask God for whatever is on your heart. I would like to encourage you to do something with your body that puts your heart in a posture of humble prayer, just like Elijah did. And so, Father, we come to you now, and we thank you for this call, this example, this life of Elijah, and the way that he showed us how to pray bold and faithful prayers. I can't even imagine what he was facing as he prayed for rain. Ahab, this evil king, I imagine there would have been some sort of death threat on his life. That if it didn't happen, if he didn't believe in the promises of God, and if you didn't come through, that his life would have been in danger. He prayed these things in faith, believing that you would do what you said you would do. Well, God, you said that you would never leave us. You called us your children. You said that you wanted to use our lives to bring about your glory, not for our glory, but for your glory. You said that in your word. And so, Father, in boldness and in faith, would you take our lives, as wretched as they are at times, as sin-filled, imperfect, broken people, and would you use them to build your kingdom, to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus, that Jesus loves them. God, you said that the church was going to be your vehicle to bring about your glory in the world. And so, Father, we pray a bold and faithful prayer for New City Covenant Church in 2024 that you would grow us in exactly the ways that you're calling us to grow. And that would begin with each of us. That, Father, we would go deeper in our faith for you, our love for one another, that we wouldn't let the political landscape of the world divide us, but that in the spirit of unity, we would follow your Spirit's lead. And, oh God, give us wisdom. Wisdom to make all the choices and decisions, the things that we need to make that are difficult. And, Father, forgive us when we don't have the faith to follow through. Father, be with us in this moment, and whatever it is that we're praying for, Father, would you break our hearts over it? Father, every day in 2024, help us to not get over praying these prayers for whatever that individual situation we might find ourselves in, and God, forever, whatever it is you're calling us as a church to do. And we pray with hope. We pray and thank you for your promises. Father, I pray that you would receive this praise now and that it would be a sweet, sweet spirit. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and the glory for this time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen.